Well, good evening. Hope everybody's had a wonderful day. It's been a beautiful day. I got to preach in El Paso, Arkansas this morning, and then we rushed home, changed clothes, and went and set up children's camp. Wonderful day. If you got your Bibles, please turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I want to talk to y'all tonight about prayer and what we're supposed to pray for and how prayer can mean so much even when we pray for something so small. A while back, when I took on this new job, we found out I had to fly to San Antonio for training. And I always think God has a wonderful sense of humor, because we were sitting at the house, his bags are packed, and we're waiting for the next morning where I have to go to the airport. And of all the shows I could find to watch on TV, I found a show called Air Disasters. And I watched it with my wife. On this particular episode, it was a documentary on a Concorde flight in France. There was an accident that cost over 100 people their lives. And it all started because of a little piece of metal that had fallen off of the jet that took off before it. Right when this jet went to take off, it hit this little piece of metal and it burst the tire. And the tire ruptured the fuel tank and caught the plane on fire, and it crashed. This little piece of metal was about 16 inches long, about an inch wide, and it was curved. And its sole purpose was to be part of the engine. It had no function other than to hold from what they call the reverse thruster shield in place, where it stayed flush with the engine cowling. Without it, the engine, when it's in standard mode, the cowling would sit in. And with it, when it deployed, it kept it from sticking out too far. But other than that, it was just cosmetic. It had no purpose. But this little bitty piece caused such a big problem. It seemed like it really didn't matter. But it did. My prayer tonight is that as we read our text and we read what Paul has written down for us, that we can see that no matter what we think of what is too small, whether it affects our lives or someone else that we know, to somebody, it's their whole world. And we're going to see how we can stand in the gap through prayer. 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1. The Bible says, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom to all, to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity, truth. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, tonight as we speak, Father, and study your word, Father, I pray that it's your words and not mine. Father, I pray that you give me a clear voice and I speak clearly your truth, Father, out of your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. There's four things I want to point out in this text. The first thing I want to point out is God wants us to be happy. I'm not going to sit up here and give you a Joel Osteen message about how we deserve happiness. This happiness that we're talking about is not the happiness that we have on the surface. It's not the selfish happiness that the world teaches us that we want, but it's a deep happiness, a happiness that the world cannot provide. And it's abiding joy, and the only joy that we can find in serving Christ. So he gives us a picture of a happy life. And we see that in the last parts of verse 2. It's a quiet and peaceful life, and all godliness and honesty. A happy life is a quiet and peaceful life, not marked by storms and turbulence, but by tranquility. I'm old enough now to know that if I chase what the world has to offer, I'm never going to be happy. And I can tell you right now that my only happiness comes from Christ. Because before Christ, I was a miserable person. I didn't know how to be content. I always wanted more. No matter how hard I worked for something, when I'd done it on my own, I was not happy. There was emptiness. Christ gives us peace in our heart and He gives us peace in our home. And that's what God wants for each and every one of us. And when we seek it out and we try to do away with the things of the world and we take on Christ, we find out that we can be godly and we can be honest. Honest. We're not burdened with guilt, but we're blessed by goodness. A life where integrity blossoms while our hypocrisy goes away. God wants us to be living in all godliness and honesty, so we don't want to be half-hearted about our honesty. Who remembers Dennis the Menace? Who remembers the newspaper machines at the gas stations? You ever put 50 cents in one and try to get your paper and it didn't give to you? You remember how hard you'd shake it? Well, Dennis's friend Joey was shaking this newspaper machine. And Dennis said, "Joey, you're doing it all wrong. You got to put the money in it, and then you can take all the papers you want." He's halfway there. We can do better than that. God teaches us to do better than that. And if we do, we will be more happy in the long run. That's why in verses 1 and 2, they give us the greatest help to happiness we'll ever find. And that greatest help is prayer. Prayer. Once we realize that there's nothing we can do on our own, and it's through our supplications, through Christ, to God, and we find out we let God fight our battles, each and every one of them, will we truly understand what happiness is. I know none of us in here like change. A lot of things have changed. I know I've said it before. This has been a rough year on my household. Changing jobs, the surgery, my youngest son graduating, my oldest son just yesterday here got married. Change. And if I lean on myself, I become miserable. We see how a group can get together and help share burdens. And the wedding's not a burden, but putting it on is. All the planning, all the decorating, and everybody in this church that helped my son get married to his bride. Thank you so much. We could have done it on our own, but it was so much easier using the help that God had provided. He made us happy. Prayer. We got to pray. Paul said, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. God gives us four words for prayer here, and the first three are very similar, but each gives us a little more insight on prayer. The first word is supplication. The second word is the word prayer. The third word is intercession. And the fourth is a phrase of giving of thanks. Supplication is the idea of having a need and asking for help. And the root word of supplication is to bind. We'll get back to that in a second. The second word is prayer. Prayer is a means of interacting with God, most frequently through a spontaneous, individual, unorganized form of petitioning and or thanking. Unorganized petitioning. What am I saying, unorganized? Our little kids, when they ask, Daddy, 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 and they ask all them thousand questions, none of them make sense, but they're asking. They're trying to learn. That's the unorganized petition that we're supposed to have to God. A childlike faith. We'll get to that in a second, too. Intercessory prayer is prayer for others. An intercessor is one who takes the place of another or pleads another's case. Intercessory prayer is a prayer that is a holy, believing, preserving prayer whereby someone pleads with God on behalf of another or others who desperately need God's intervention. And giving of thanks is just as it states. It's with thankful hearts. We praise God who, like a loving parent, denies us no good thing. Now, going back to supplication, we talked about binding. There's a great strength here, binding ourselves with chains to our purpose in prayer. Binding ourselves with chains. Binding ourselves to God and His will. And no matter how He chooses the answer, we stay bound to Him. We stay bound to Him. We offer supplications in our prayers. Supplication is known as asking, but this word was only used to describe asking God for something. We're not asking just the average man for anything. We're asking God. And there's an idea of reverence and worship as we offer our supplications to God. And the thing is, God will say yes. God will say no. Or He might say not yet. We have to be ready for His answer. None of us like being told no, and none of us not like waiting. So we have to remember that when we pray, no matter how little or how big it is and how it affects people, who are we to demand God to answer us right now? We have to understand that we're on His time. His time. And we do it in reverence and worship, because He is God. The second thing I want us to look at is God wants us to intercede in prayer. There are certain needs which only God can satisfy. And we have to remember that. There is a strength which He alone can give, a forgiveness. He can give a forgiveness which He alone can grant. And certainly which He alone can bestow. We offer our prayers and our intercessions. This is standing in the gap for other people, but it also carries the idea of a close personal conversation with the King. Pleading with the King on behalf of a friend, a family member, a co-worker. It could be coming before Him with like childlike confidence. We know Daddy's going to take care of it. The faith that we had in our parents when we were young. Our dad could do anything, or your mom could do anything, or your grandparents, whatever the case may be, however you was raised up. There was no fear, and you knew that they could do it all. Well, God can do it all. There's no doubt in our minds that He can do anything, because He is all-powerful and almighty. So what is intercessory prayer? Quite simply, Intercessory prayer is the act of praying on behalf of others. The role of a mediator in prayer was prevalent in the Old Testament in the cases of Abraham and Moses, David and Samuel in their time. Christ is pictured in the New Testament as the ultimate mediator. He's the ultimate intercessor. And because of this, all Christians' prayer becomes intercession since it is offered to God through and by Christ. Jesus closed the gap between us and God when He died on that cross. Because of Jesus' mediation, we can now intercede in prayer on behalf of other Christians for the lost, asking God to grant the request according to His will, and we have to remember it's going to be in His time. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Romans 8:34 says, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, this that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." In other words, think of it like this. You are the younger of two siblings to parents. I use brothers. Nothing against girls. I don't know how girls fight. But I use boys. So two brothers. You as the younger brother have problems with two other guys as you're walking home from school. They like jumping on you in the alleyway, and they take your lunch money, or they beat you up, or play jokes on you. They do something mean, and they got you afraid to the point where you don't even want to go home that way. But your mom and dad tells you you have to keep going. Big brother finds out. So he follows you, and you don't know it. And as you're walking home, those two bullies come out, and they're planning to do something mean to you. And big brother steps in, and he's just a little bit bigger than those two guys. He steps between you and the trouble. Are you getting the picture? He steps between you and the trouble. That's what Jesus does for us. Jesus stands in the gap. And that's what intercessory prayer is like. Intercessory prayer to us is standing in the gap, taking the matter to Jesus on behalf of the brother or sister in need. We offer our intercessions and we give thanks, coming before God with grateful hearts for all that He has done and all that He will do. So we offer our prayers, big prayers, world-changing prayers, prayers for our leaders, prayers for all men, prayers for our children, our jobs, and our church. Prayer is a great help for happiness because it can change our situation. And even when it doesn't change our situation, it will change our state of mind. So if you want to be happy, the answer is prayer. Prayer. God wants us to be saved. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to come home. And we see this in verse 4. It says, "Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth?" So does this mean that God wants Barack Obama to be saved? Does this mean that God wants them ladies on Capitol Hill that are causing all these problems? Does He want them to be saved? Does this mean that God wants my neighbor who lives next door and plays the loud music and rides his motorcycles and four-wheelers all hours of the night? Does it want him to be saved? Well, that's what we just read. You never have to doubt it because God will have all men to be saved, but there's only one way to be saved. And that way is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In verse 5, Jesus is the only mediator or peacemaker between God and man. The man Christ Jesus, God the Son, came down to earth as a man. He is the only bridge between us and God the Father. And in verse 6, we see that Jesus is the only Savior because He is the only one who could pay the price for us, the ultimate price that He paid when He died on the cross for our sins. There's a Christmas song called "Welcome to Our World." And some of the lyrics go like this. "Fragile fingers sent to heal us, tender brow prepared for thorn, tiny heart whose blood will save us, unto us is born So wrap our injured flesh around you, breathe our air and walk our sod, rob our sin and make us holy, holy, perfect Son of God. There are some words in there that really stood out to me. And it wasn't the babe, and it wasn't the perfect Son of God, but it was three words: rob our sin. What were these three words talking about? When we're looking at our prayers and start to fully understand what intercession is, we see how Jesus stood in the gap for us. He took something that He didn't deserve. He took something that didn't belong to Him. He took my judgment, the pain that I caused Him, and He died on the cross and took my punishment and yours. Intercession. When we fully understand what Christ done for us, it gives us a new outlook on life. And we realize that we have nothing to really complain about. We ought to be jumping with joy for what He has done for us. He took our sins so we could go home with Him. And we ought to realize that our days on this earth are numbered. And we're all going to die. The question is, where are we going to be and where are we going to go when we die? Jesus Christ wants you to go to heaven, and you can if you will open your heart and believe that He is our personal Lord and Savior. And it's all based on faith. I am His and He is mine. He's going to hold my hand when I cross that river. He leads my path as I walk through life. Praise God. Number three, God wants you to be headed to heaven, and He wants us to help along the way. It's one of the main reasons why Paul wrote this letter. Paul wanted to help Timothy. Now, God wants us to be helpers, and in verses 6 through 8, it shows us two of the best ways we can help people. First, we can talk to God about people. Paul already mentioned this in verse 1, but it's so important that he tells us again in verse 8. And he says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Every Sunday here at this church, men pray over the pastor and the services. And we pray for physical and spiritual needs that are known to us. Every Wednesday night, we have a prayer meeting. And here recently we've been focusing on special topics. And then if we pray for those special topics, we still pray for the physical and the spiritual needs and even the unspoken request. Sometimes we got things in our life that we don't want other people to know about. But remember, it's those little things that get in the way that can cause so much trouble. I'm not telling you that you have to share with me what's going on in your life. All I'm saying is, brother, I got something that I don't want to talk about, but pray for me. It's unspoken. Those are such blessings. We can share all of our burdens with everybody, and we can give it all to God, to Jesus, who stands in the gap for us to fight our battle, and you're not alone. You're not alone. And we can help knowing that you're troubled, and we can pray for you and with you. What a blessing it is. Through prayer, we're lifting up believers to grow in the Lord. Through prayer, we're seeking to help lost people to know the Lord. Through prayers, we are praying for our children's ministry as we seek to teach them and reach them and tell them the truth about Jesus Christ. Through prayers and our youth ministry, we're teaching young men to be godly men, and we're teaching young women to be godly women, and that their only true foundation is Christ. And we do it through God's Word, and we do it prayerfully. Through prayer, we're lifting up our pastors, our deacons, and our teachers to encourage them that when they go through a dry spell and they think they're not making a difference just because they hadn't seen a new convert and they keep preaching this Bible and nothing else but this Bible, Keep doing what you're doing, preacher. Keep doing what you're doing, teacher. Keep doing what you're doing, deacon. God's word is truth, and truth prevails in the end. We hear about churches all over that have all these programs to draw people in. The only program we need is God's word. And if we're having problems with it, we need to read it more, and we need to pray. So talk to God and pray for people. The second thing that we can see out of this is we can talk to people about God. In verse 6, Paul says that Jesus Christ gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now is the time for us to testify about Jesus Christ, who he is, and the wonderful things he has done in our lives. Then in verse 7, Paul said he had been appointed to be a preacher, apostle, and teacher. Those were his assignments, but God has got an assignment for you too. We all have something that we can do. I know that some people believe that I ain't a preacher and I ain't a teacher, but there's someone that you can reach. Each and every one of us in this room knows somebody that only we or you can reach. You can reach someone that I can't. I can reach someone that you can't. And you can share the gospel of Christ with them. You can let them know that they're important to them and pray for them. It's amazing how people react when you say, I pray for you. Very rarely have I had anybody tell me that they didn't need my prayers. When a coworker tells me something that's troubling them, brother, I'm praying for you, they say, thank you. We can all reach someone. Each and every one of us has an influence on someone. We can be the light that lights up their darkness in the world. When I say we, it's Christ in us. That lost soul can see the love of Christ through a believer. If you think that you can't show the love of Christ as a believer, then you need to re-examine yourself. Because Christ does live in you. Christ lives in us and He shines through us. We can invite people to our homes and to our church. We can help them hear about God and His wonderful purpose for our life by telling them how God has worked in our life. And we can do it by giving our testimony. Think back to when you first were saved and how you are now. The things that I used to do versus the things that I do now. The things I used to love to do makes me sick to my stomach now. How has God changed me for the better? That's our testimony. And I didn't do it. God did. And it's because someone prayed for me. They stood in the gap. God heals the brokenhearted, and He brings peace to the troubled soul. The fourth thing to look at is God wants you to be holy. Verse 8 says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. How should we lift our hands? Now this is going to be fun. I ain't talking about going Pentecostal. But how do we lift our hands? Some of us lift our hands like this. Some of them raise them up high. And some of us really get going, we got a touchdown. Right? That's not what I'm talking about. This is not what this text is talking about. There's a couple pastors that went to a Christian concert, and they noticed that people around was raising their hands as the songs were going. And one pastor turned to the other and he said, you know how Baptist preachers raise their hands? How Baptists raise their hands? He said, no, how? And they go like this. This text is talking about holy hands. Holy hands. Hands that are set apart and different. There's nothing wrong with praising God with our hands. There's nothing wrong with raising our hands up when we're so excited we don't know what else to do. We want to get up and jump and shout. That's fine. But this text is talking about holy hands. Hands that are devoted to Christ and ready to serve. Hands that will hold a baby in the nursery, that wipe away tears for someone in pain and fear. Help lift up someone who is struggling. Hands that are pure and holy because God is holy, not because I'm making a name for myself. If we're worried about what to do physically with our hands, then we need to open this Bible just like this so we can read God's Word. If we're worried what to do physically with our hands. God wants us to be holy, and I pray that He will have 100% of my heart so these hands can be holy hands. And yours as well. Brother and sister, if you are struggling today with something that's keeping you from being holy, no matter how small it is, continue to pray. Give it to God, and you will see how He changes you in your life. And don't give up, because remember, we are waiting on His timing. Philippians 2:13 tells us that God is at work in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Trust God to make you holy. God has made all this possible. How has He made it possible? It's through His Son, Jesus Christ. We will close with this thought. Man alone could not make this happen. 1 Timothy 2:5 and 6 says, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at a proper time." Ever since the fall of humanity, sinners have been unable to approach God without going through a mediator. Scripture reveals this truth in many ways, particularly in establishing the old covenant of priesthood. We've seen this all through the Old Testament. Only those who held the vocation of a priest could go into the Holy of Holies, and they made sacrifices upon you for you, for your atonement of your sin. But there was a flaw in this, because these men were sinners too, and they had to do sacrifices for their sins. So that wasn't a very accurate method, was it? God knew this. God knew this. And the thing is, when these priests would die, the next one would take his place. And it'd bring an end to the former priest's work of meditation, then he'd start his work of meditation. Mediation, not meditation. And do each and every one of us have the same personality? We each judge differently, right? When we lay on our own understandings. Paul is talking about who Christ is. He's talking about the deity of Christ. And he is stressing our Lord's humanity. In Philippians 2, which I didn't mark, as usual. In Philippians 2, well, you can read it. In Philippians 2, 5 through 11, Paul affirms that Jesus is truly God. Instead, Paul stresses that humanity of Christ in today's passage is a reminder that Jesus shares our humanity so that we can be joined to Him and be able to stand before God. It must be understood that to be an effective mediator, Christ must be truly God and truly man. A mediator is a go-between who can represent the interests of both parties. And as God, Christ brings divine justice and mercy to bear our relationship to our Creator. By dying the sinless sacrifice for all who put their faith in Him, Christ provides the forgiveness of sin without God for asking, God's forsaking His judgment against sin. Christ is the only mediator available to us. He is our high priest. He's the only priest. He stands in the gap. So no matter how small you think your problem is, or how small we think someone else's problem is, when we see somebody struggling with something and us in our worldly way of thinking that they're worried over nothing, that problem they're dealing with could be their whole world. And we need to pray for them. God cares so much about us that He sent His only begotten Son. so that we could have a way to come home. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to be holy. And He wants us to come home. And He wants us to help others along the way. We are to pray for our leaders of our nation, our community, and our state. We need to pray for our leaders of our church. No matter how small the problem is, folks, we can help by prayer, and we can have a joy that passes all understanding. It gives us a peace. And that's a great promise. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for this message, Father. Thank You for this church. Thank You for allowing me to stand here at this pulpit one more time, Father, to preach Your word. Father, I pray this message was Your message, Father, and I pray I didn't mess it up, God. Father, I want to pray for our pastor and his family as they travel home. Father, and I want to pray for our children's camp that starts tomorrow. Father, I pray that everything we do glorifies You. Give us the holy hands to do Your work, God. Be with us throughout the rest of this week. Lead our path and direct us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.